This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Nick Caserio making moves. Texans signed Buddy Howell to a one-year contract. Dontrell
Hilliard. Isn't that our guy? Weren't we talking about Buddy Howell?
We were kind of mocking it. Dontrell Hilliard, one-year contract, and cornerback Cornell Armstrong, one-year contract released. Peter Kalambaye and Sunio Kalamete.
All right. Dang, Jack.
No, just kidding. That is...
That's rearranging furniture is all that is.
But the most important moves I think that Caserio made was in the scouting department, because I think this is where he's going to be able to do the majority of his work. He's keeping Lifford, he's keeping Bazergan, but they moved on from assistant director of pro personnel C.J. Leak, as well as area scout Ryan Cavanaugh and pro scout Stephen Price. So the scouting department, make no mistake about it, that's where the meat of the rebuild is going to take place. Until the roster is set, all the other stuff, all the extra fluff is just what that is. But the scouting department is where things are going to shape up, and that's where Nick Caserio is beginning to do work. David Johnson not released yet. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Same with Duke Johnson. They will be released. You could see that happen within the next 3 weeks so that those guys have a chance to hit free agency or find different teams. But David Johnson's not coming back at his contract. Neither is Duke Johnson. You save nearly $10 million in getting rid of both of those guys. So that's the work that Nick Caserio has in front of him. We don't know what Jack Easterby's role is going to be in this whole process. Hopefully he's just doing other stuff and not meddling with the building of the roster. But that's what we do know. And we came across yesterday an interesting article written about Jack Easterby. This is the most depth. We've seen the two Sports Illustrated articles in what they brought to the table. But this was very well written, and it was a little bit of a different angle. And I understand that it caught the attention of you when you were reading about Jack Easterby.
Yeah, first of all, what a lost art to be that well written and researched. I mean, it was like something out of the past. So shout out to David Roth for that. But what I like pieces like this, because sometimes as close as we are to this story, the Jack Easterby story, as big as it is a national story, sometimes it's great to just get an analysis. You know, an analysis of the guy who did a lot of research. And I want to just read a couple of things that I think all point in the same direction. And that direction is what I said earlier. Trust me, we don't want to constantly say this, but when it's apparent that it's so true, you can't help it. The end result here, I'll give you the spoiler alert, is Jack Easterby, by most accounts, not just us so close to it, but anyone who has done the legwork, is in the midst of a long con. It's in the midst of doing things that are just bothersome. It's a grift, as I said earlier. So let me read just a couple things here. And normally you ask for my response, but I just told you what my ultimate ending point is here. But tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if you would co-sign this. They go back to his South Carolina days, right? he started out as a sort, this I'm reading now, a sort of utility chaplain whose job seems to have been the provision of churchified inspiration and support for any and all who needed it. The seeds of water of truth, love, and support to grow people and have them encouragement oriented, as Easterby described it. And there was naturally a shingy-ish dimension to his job too, which involved, this is the key part, which involved delighting his superiors with the sort of successories grade pabulum that certain coaches treasure above all things. In other words, sucking up to the bosses, right? That's South Carolina. So then he goes on to the New England Patriots, and then he comes here in 2019. Because he knew the late Bob McNair from South Carolina and believed the McNair family values aligned with his, the Texans unexpectedly fired general manager Brian Gain after 17 months on the job.
Two months after Easterby got here.
Correct. Then he goes on. When O'Brien was fired, Easterby stood alone atop the organization until he finally managed to bring Caserio in. Key point. We've been saying it. He managed to bring Caserio in. At which point, the organization began a sprawling purge of team employees who represented rival power centers in the organization. So what he's doing, as we've talked about, he's identifying the people who are threats to him. Rival power centers in the organization, including Jamie Roots. He goes through the whole thing, and including Deshaun Watson. The rubbernecking appeal of all this is interesting enough. A pious schemer like Easterby makes for a suitable villain. But this was the part that just really, I thought, encapsulated everything. He said, all of it is exactly as it appears to be. No one involved feels compelled to conceal any of it because they cannot conceive of being held accountable. At scale.
Read that again.
All of this is exactly what it appears to be. No one involved feels compelled to conceal any of it. In other words, what we've been saying, like he's entitled. He says, I'm not going to go with Cal McNair and go out in public and deliver water and help people who are going through the freeze. I don't have to. So let me say it again. All of it is exactly what it appears to be. No one involved feels compelled to conceal any of it because they cannot conceive of being held accountable. At scale, this abdication creates the condition for sprawling and horrific crimes. The shame of it is so vast as to make it incomprehensible. It's a stunning, stunning way to put what we all know is going on. He's entitled. He doesn't care what you think. And it is a shame and it is incomprehensible that Jack Easterby is where he is.
It's a lot of depth. Mm-hmm. I strongly recommend reading it. If you're not, direct the people in the way in which they can find that.
It is David Roth at defector.com. Let me read the walk away line here and just tell me your feelings. He's talking about Easterby. A cheesy striver whispers self-serving pieties into the ear of an easily distracted rich man over and over. Because that is his job. I mean, it's a grift. This is planned. This is organized. And Jack Easterby is winning. And we're all losing.
I don't think this is going to go on much longer.
Why?
I'm starting to.
You just heard what he's doing.
I'm starting to feel like 365 days from now, this is all going to be over. This Easterby thing is going to be
done. Based on what?
Just based on the fact that it's going to pile up, it's going to pile up, it's going to pile up, it's going to pile up to where they have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be even more clear to Cal. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be at this point already, but I don't think this is going to go on too much longer. There are just too many people that have a good grasp of this, and there's just not enough substance from Jack Easterby to be able to defend it. Like, you can't, if you're going to pull this off, you can't hide behind the scenes, because that speaks volumes. There's been a lot of guys that have been under fire, but you can at least explain it, and you can say, well, this guy has done this. There's nothing tangible that Jack Easterby can hang his hat on to justify where he's at right now. There's nothing tangible since Jack Easterby's been here that he can hang his hat on for it to continue. And I just think Cal McNair, I think part of him may have thought that this was going to go away, but it's not going to go away. It's only going to intensify. It's going to get better. I think they thought that, you know, hey, Jack, lay low for a little bit. This should be swept under the rug. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. And that's the real dangers of burning bridges and being sneaky. A lot of times when you're sneaky, sometimes you can get away from you can get away with it. But when you burn so many bridges that nobody has anything good to say about you, eventually you're just going to run out of opportunity, and it's going to become more and more apparent.
But you're thinking about this logically. You're thinking about this reasonably. I go back to the, as he put it, cheesy Striver. The most important part was whispering self-serving pieties into the ear of an easily distracted rich man. So that rich man being Cal McNair is not thinking of this logically. He's defiant with Cal Easterby because he's been convinced that this is right. The logic says what you're saying is going to happen, but the reality says not anytime soon.
The guy can't even give water to people without hearing about the Easterby thing.
Wait, no. And the social media pushback is at once, you know, sad and funny.
The only thing that really would make this make sense is if it's not really Cal's decision. If Jack Easterby was able to develop a relationship with a dying Bob McNair, mm-hmm. to the point where Janice McNair has a special place in her heart for Jack Easterby and Cal's unable to make this decision. To me, that would be the only thing that would make complete sense here. Because in any other way of looking at it, and you're talking about speaking logically, mm-hmm. any other way of looking at it, it just seems like this would be the easiest decision Cal McNair has ever made. It's not like he's scared to pay people when they leave. He was paying Rick Smith for a while. Mm-hmm. He's still paying Brian Gain. He's still paying Bill O'Brien. So it's not like he's not willing to do that. The only thing to me that would make sense here is that it's not Cal McNair's decision. Because you hear it all the time. You see it on the text line. Why doesn't Janice step in and do something for Cal? Are we sure that she's not stepping in?
Maybe she doesn't want to. Yeah.
Are we sure that Janice doesn't like Jack Easterby and she's the one that needs to be convinced? Because that would be the only thing that made sense here, that an elderly woman, a goddess of Houston, I will add, thank you. Shout out to Janice for the $500,000 donation and everything she's done here. But I think of all the people that it would be easy to fool, the one that would be the easiest would be Janice, because Jack Easterby, who is known as an opportunist, could have developed that bond with Bob McNair when he was dying, and Janice is kind of the one who is in charge. She is the owner that looks at Jack and has a soft spot for him, and Cal would have to go out of his way and intensely convince Janice that getting rid of Jack Easterby would be the right thing. Because I'm willing to bet that Jack Easterby talks to Janice McNair, and I'm willing to bet that the name Bob comes up more times than not.
Sure.
So just trying to make sense of this, because it's damn near impossible if you just think Cal McNair wants to keep Jack Easterby around. It's damn near impossible. But trying to make sense of it, I just wonder if it's truly his decision to make.
But what do opportunistic grifters do? If that's the case, and I think it is on the table, opportunistic grifters like Jack Easterby, they go after elderly women's retirement savings. And in a sense, in a much bigger sense, that's what he's doing. The Texans and gaining control. He's earned her trust. And now he's basically going after the elderly woman's retirement savings. It's a slimy situation when you look at it from where we're sitting. It absolutely is. The other part.
And that's just trying to make sense of it.
Right.
Because it's either that situation, or it doesn't make sense because this guy's done nothing but, and the organization has done nothing but get worse in every area since he got here. So you can either look at it that way and it makes less sense, or you can try to make sense of it and maybe it's Janice's call and Janice does not want to get rid of Jack Easterby.
But the scariest part of all to me is either way, whether it's Cal McNair, you know, the pieties into the ear of the easily distracted rich man, or the proverbial retirement savings of an elderly woman, either way, Jack Easterby has all the control. And that's the scary part. That's why I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
I put the over under at a year, and I'm taking the under. I think the light will be shown. That's my hope, and that's my story. And damn it, I am
sticking
to it. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Is J.J. Watt starving for the glory days of Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Mallett, Brian Hoyer, and Brock Osweiler? If he is, then it's very clear where he should go. We'll tell you where next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Does J.J. Watts want to relive the days of Brock Osweiler, Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett? If so, I got just
what's
the
wrong
place
with
for him.
What's wrong with him?
Big Ben looks like he's going to return to Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger, he is not Tom Brady. He is clearly washed up. He is a shell of himself. People in Pittsburgh are upset that Big Ben is coming back next year. Andrew Filippone does radio out there, and he does some weekend work. He is basically saying the Steelers basically don't have any chance next year to compete because Big Ben is back. And as soon as JJ was released by the Texans, we started throwing out the possibility, and the odds makers started throwing out the possibility of him going to Pittsburgh to join his brothers and play out there. And I got to say, if JJ's really about it, he's not going to do that. And with Big Ben coming back, It basically solidifies that JJ Watt, who's not the player that he was when he was able to be defensive player of the year with these bad quarterbacks, JJ Watt would be returning to somewhat of a familiar place. No chance to win a Super Bowl and bad quarterback play if he decided to go to Pittsburgh. I think you can just cross them off the list right now. I don't even think Pittsburgh is a possibility for J.J. Watt to go to. And if he did go there, I would really question if he truly is about what he says he's about.
Yeah, and that's fair. I think I would be right there with you. It would be a great story. But going back to Pittsburgh to me for J.J. Watt is like a two-week story maybe when he signs and some of the photo ops and some of the interviews that they're giving and, you know, three brothers playing on the same team. It's about a two-week story, and then every once in a while a visiting team will do the story on it. That's not how you think about your next destination if you're J.J. Watt. Well, I guess it could be, but that's not what we think he's really about. He's really about a championship and an opportunity to really win big, you know, with an organization that is entirely different from the one that he's leaving. So I'm with you, man. I think I'll look at J.J. Watt's priorities a little differently. I will understand. I mean, that's blood. It's your family. But his priority and what he's saying about it, we've heard him talk multiple times. All I want to do is win. Ben Roethlisberger's agent came out and said that the Steelers want him back. That Ben is better than ever.
What?
Et cetera. I'm just telling you what the guy said, man.
Based on what?
You want me to read it to you?
Yeah. Like, what's that based on?
That's my question all the time, and it's a legitimate one. This is what Ryan Tolner said. They want Ben back and will contact me soon to address his cap situation. As we've shared since the season ended, we are happy to creatively adjust his contract to help them build the best team possible. A year ago, Ben wasn't sure if he could throw again, but he battled back to get 12 wins and an 8th division title in his career.
The hell out of here.
They lost steam down the stretch, and that doesn't sit well for him, so the fire burns strong, and there is plenty of gas left in the tank.
It's a bad contract to where they're going to have to take a hit regardless. But let me just give you a list just to show the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh and why at this point it is just a name. It's just the name of the bathroom Casanova, a.k.a. Ben Roethlisberger. Listen, I'm going to list the quarterbacks that had a better quarterback rating than Ben Roethlisberger last season. You ready for this list?
Give it to me.
All right. Might be here for a while. Get you a snack.
Seriously?
Get you a snack. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Drew Brees, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Deshaun Watson, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater, Kirk Cousins, Philip Rivers, Daniel Jones, Mitchell Trubisky, Ben Roethlisberger.
Dude, take a breath, man.
21. 21 quarterbacks last year had a better QBR than Ben Roethlisberger.
Look, I would.
You have no chance at winning a Super Bowl if you go to Pittsburgh.
Well, here's the other thing. Even if Ben Roethlisberger, as his agent said, is willing to rework his contract, there's still a $22.2 million bonus proration that's going to be against the cap that's not going anywhere. Doesn't matter what he does with his contract, that is still going to affect their cap. So, yeah, it's not a good place for him. One side note real quick, because we had multiple texts asking me about the last segment and that link from Defector. I just tweeted it out if anybody wants to read the entire story, and we're going to revisit it here on air as well. But it's at Lopez on Sports.
At Lopez on Sports. It's definitely an interesting article to read. Very well written. You want to be in a quiet place when you read this one, because it's deep. I had to read a couple paragraphs multiple times.
That's all right.
Grasp an understanding, if we're being honest with each other. It does appear that J.J. Watt, though, could be heading to Buffalo. I know the internet was going nuts yesterday when he talked about mitochondria and all those types of things. Buffalo appears to be one of the places that J.J. is interested in. It could make the most sense. They got the rookie quarterback deal going on. They could use some extra pass rush, and they are close to Kansas City. They were the team that was the biggest threat to the Chiefs last year, faced them in the AFC Championship. Brian Gain, already there, the former GM of the Houston Texans. Listen to how blunt J.J. was when Brian Gain was fired by the Texans. This was J.J. Watt talking about the abrupt firing of Brian Gain 2 months after Jack Easterby arrived in Houston.
It's a tough business, and I mean, that's obviously a decision from much higher than my head. So, like I said on Twitter, and it's the truth, all I want to do is win. I don't care about anything else but winning. I want to win for my teammates, and I want to win for these fans. And other than that, I don't care. I want to win.
He wants to win.
Yeah.
If that's the case, again, it just goes back to, number one, I'm sure him, Brian Gain, would have a lot to talk about. And number two, don't go to Pittsburgh then. If you just want to win, don't go to Pittsburgh then. Trust me.
Buffalo's been intriguing to me and you for a while now. The other thing with Pittsburgh, not only the cap hit, not only the fact that they flopped at the end of the year, not only all that, there's two teams in the division that are better than them. And if you don't think they're better than them, you can't deny that the arrow is pointing up where the arrow on Pittsburgh is pointing down.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We're 3 weeks away from free agency. I think we're going to see some cuts coming soon for the Texans. Calamente and Calambaye cut yesterday. I think we got to look at the running backs. The running backs are going to be released sooner rather than later, both Johnsons. I could see a situation where David Johnson comes back. I know a lot of people are throwing up, but not at this contract. Yeah. I could see a restructure situation where they decide to bring back David Johnson, but at this contract, that's not going to happen. The $2 million already guaranteed from the Texans, so maybe they'll rework that, but David Johnson is going to be released, or he's going to have to figure out a new compensation from the club, and then I think Duke Johnson's going to be released. We're going to see Bernardrick McKinney probably released sometime next week or the week after that. That's been a given because you're going to save that money. But the business part of things is intensifying for Nick Caserio. Expect, you know, cap space to be cleared. And the guys that I just mentioned, that's a significant amount of cap space that can be cleared by Caserio.
Yeah, I don't think either one is coming back. I don't think either one. Well, in David Johnson's place, he was unproductive. In case he was unproductive. In Duke Johnson's, he's been mishandled in this organization for at least 2 years. Well, for 2 years. But all these moves they're making, not a whole lot to read into it. This is commonplace. Every team is doing it right now. It's smaller contracts, getting some guys at the back of the end of the roster. I think it might be significant who comes in, you know, because I don't know if they're going to have the pick of the litter here, because everybody in the NFL, if they have other options, they're going to go somewhere else.
There's some really insightful running back stuff that I want to get into at 1 o'clock, because I think the theory on running backs, I think it reigns true. But I think we are misjudging the true value of running backs and when it does make sense to go all in on them when using assets. I've been trying to say this for a long time. There's a guy named Mike Dugar of Pro Football Focus that I think just put it perfect when it comes to running backs. We'll get into that at 1 o'clock. We're trying to help you out there in the community. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Sports Radio 610 is beginning the small business shout outs. If you're a small business and you're going through tough times, tell us your story. Don't just drop us a business card. Tell us your story because we want to get it out there. We may shout you out on the air, try to help you out. All you got to do is email your story to smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com. That's smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com.
Look, I could list any number of places that I go to up in Humble, Ty Lee, Italianos, Shogun up there in Humble. I've seen them, how they've dealt with not just the pandemic, but the freeze, and they're doing business. It's tough, and I'm sure they have a story. If you have a similar place, tell us what we need to know, and we'll do whatever we can, if we can, to help them.
COG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. The Astros are ramping up workouts, but two prominent members of the lineup are not participating. We'll give you the latest on that, as well as the moves that the Texans are making and the status of Tiger Woods. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
36 days till the Astros take the field. The Houston Whoopi will be in action. They will be on your TV. Good old opening day, Stros versus A. Stros expected to win the division. Going to be a very exciting time. Some intrigue in the bullpen, and a hell of a lineup. Today, one of 16 times that they will face live pitching. They will be in the cage. They will be facing live pitching. You will have the OG Yuli.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
Comeback season Altuve. The Sparkle Prince Carlos Correa. Machete Martin Maldonado, Michael Effin Brantley, Big Tuck Kyle Tucker,
Big T, UCK,
Speedy Miles Straw, but two guys will not be there. Yordan Alvarez and the baseball messiah, Alex Bregman.
Baseball messiah.
Here's Dusty Baker on why Yordan and Alex Bregman will not be hacking it up in the cages against live pitching today.
He's recovering from surgery, so we got to take him slow. Bregman, you know, has a slight tweak in his leg from working out this winter. They want to take him slow because we don't want the same thing to happen. You know, we're hoping that they'll both be back on the field in a short period of time. But they're doing most of their work on the inside.
They need to put Bregman in timeout for a little bit. The guy put on 30 pounds in about 3 months. Just let the Messiah rest for a little bit, because he's working a little bit too hard. I don't usually say that, but he's working a little bit too hard. Put the Messiah in timeout for a little bit. Sit him out for a week. Let him peek out the window as the kids play street football out in front of the mailbox and stuff. Sit him down.
I actually don't want him to sit down. I mean, unless it's an injury that you know can compound itself, let the doctors decide that. But when you put on 30 pounds and you're not a tall, I should say, guy anyway, that messes with your swing a little bit. I mean, and he was talking about how he wants to get speed through this area and be able to go the other way this with that and everything. Let's get those reps in, baby. He is – all the video we've seen has been just like little snippets. So you can't really tell. I want to see him –
It's 30 pounds.
I want to see him in person.
It's 20-ish pounds.
That's like – for his – stature, that's a lot of weight of muscle.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he looks like. Contract years have different impacts on guys. You got that question with Correa. Altuve was rough last year. There's really no sugarcoating it. It looked like he had the yips at times. He wasn't hitting well a lot of the time, to the where we were asking if Altuve needed to be pushed back in the lineup. Yuli looked washed in the postseason. He's in his late 30s, so you don't know what you're going to get from him. I think Michael Brantley, you know what you're going to get.
You're good
from him. Kyle Tucker is a guy who, if he continues to progress like he did last year, who knows what you have there? You could be talking about an all-star caliber
Absolutely.
Player, Big Tuck. And then Yordan, as long as Yordan's in the lineup, I think it's safe to say that he's going to rake. It's just a matter of how long he's going to be in the lineup. You're talking
exactly.
about knee injuries, plural, not singular, but man, this is going to be a pretty good lineup, and you do have some depth as well. Elidmys Diaz, don't know when we're going to see Elidmys in the lineup or not, but there's just a lot of stuff, a lot of intrigue here. Miles Straw, really the only uncertainty. But the guys are starting to hack. We're 5 weeks and change away, baby. I cannot wait for the H-Town Whoopie. I cannot wait to get out to the juice box. I cannot wait for a well-run organization to control a lot of the dialogue that we spit 10 to 2 Monday through Friday right here on Sports Radio 6. And I'm excited for baseball. Very excited.
Will Fuller thinks Yordan misses a lot of games. And that's the problem with Yordan. I feel better, though, about Altuve. You guys have heard me talk about it. Some people I've had discussions with it when we used to go out and about. And talking about how when you're a really small dude like that and you lose just an ounce of bat speed or just a smidge of bat speed, that it tends to compound itself. And that's what I was kind of speculating on Altuve last year. But there were a lot of things going on that we didn't hear about that Dusty Baker and others have been talking about, injuries and some deaths in his family, and that might have been factors there as well.
And then you got the arms. You know, we're talking about the lineup. The lineup, I mean, that's good to win you 75 games. I mean, you're 75 games even if your pitching was awful. Mm-hmm. But you have Zach Greinke. You have Framber Valdez. You have Lance McCullers coming back. Year two of the Tommy John, Urquidy. And then you have Christian Javier. You have a lot of depth. So, I mean, I think we're talking about a 95-win ball club. I think it's a 95-win team. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Hold on. Mark that, Figgy.
Maybe I'm horny.
95-win team?
Going 95.
Dude, 85 might win the division.
Going 95.
I mean, I get, you know, the A's have got a few holes. They've got good lineup, but not depth.
Figgy, what'd I say?
95.
That's what I said, yeah.
You said what you said?
95.
I said what I said.
That's what I said. Maybe I'm just very anxious to have, you know, some positivity and something that I can rely on at night when I go home, the Astros, and I can just turn it on and enjoy the ride. I'm going 95 wins. That's my prediction, damn it, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, you're out there.
And I think
it's been noted.
I think this is going to be one of the top 8 rotations in baseball. I think we're talking about one of the top 8 rotations. I think Valdez is going to continue to be a pit bull, mm-hmm. and I think this bullpen is going to be better off. I think the return of Joe Smith is big. I think they've added some arms, and I think a lot of these young arms that had high upside got experience last year that they wouldn't have gotten in normal circumstances, and I think they're going to be better than they were. I also think the A's, they had some significant losses. The A's were a superior team, but they had significant losses.
Their top-end lineup is really good, but they have some losses.
The Mariners are a disaster. They're a train wreck.
The A's we've been waiting for a while. Yeah. I mean, the Angels.
Yeah. God, are they even in the league anymore? Yeah. I can't even keep up with them.
They're constantly like, well, keep an eye on the Angels this year.
The Angels, you know.
I think McCullers is going to have a big year.
Year two back from Tommy John.
Yeah.
Be interesting. Get out of that first inning. Sometimes that first inning is a little bit rough. I'm going 95.
All right.
Noted. Drinking the Kool-Aid? You bet your ass I am. You bet your ass I am. I'm going 95. I'm going high. I'm very high on the Astros this year. We will see. Again, 36 days till they return to the field. 3 weeks away from free agency for the Houston Texans. Nick Caserio making moves. They re-signed Buddy Howell to a one-year contract. Special teamer, running back. This was the day after they re-signed Dontrell Hilliard, more of a third-down back type. And they also gave Cornell Armstrong, the cornerback, a one-year contract. Released Sonny Calamite and Peter Kalambai. How in the hell was Sonny Calamite still on the team?
They needed him. He played.
Well, because of Max Sharping.
Right.
Max Sharping better be getting it together right now. Can't have this. But Sonny Calamite gone. Very big disappointment for the Texans. Nick Caserio gets rid of him. Also made some changes in the scouting department. He's getting his scouts in order. Expect more moves to come in the coming weeks. Bernardrick McKinney. The two Johnsons, those are guys to look out for. I wonder what they think of Nick Martin, what Caserio thinks of Nick Martin, because you save, I think, $5-6 million, something like that, if you release Nick Martin. So it'll be interesting to see what they think of him. But those are the guys to look out for in the coming weeks. Also wonder what the status is of Bradley Roby. You don't save money by getting rid of him. But I just don't know if Bradley Roby's going to be a guy that's going to be on board with this rebuild.
He's a trade possibility.
Trade possibility. Maybe Jacksonville wants him. Urban Meyer coached him in college. Maybe Urban Meyer wants Bradley Roby, and you get a late-round pick, and you send Roby to Jacksonville. I know you don't like to trade within the division, but we're just talking about the cornerback position.
I think that's definitely a possibility. The other moves, nothing, not a whole lot to see here. I mean, unfortunate for the guys that were released. They should latch on somewhere at their ages, but nothing significant.
Playing the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Big Ben looks like he's going to be back in Pittsburgh. Hell of a cap hit. It was going to be regardless. Looks like the Steelers...
$22.2 million.
You can chalk the Steelers off the list of teams that have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And I think you should be able to chalk them off the list of teams that J.J. Watt will go to. Ben Roethlisberger's dead. He is dead. It is the ghost of Ben Roethlisberger out there right now. He is not very good. I don't care how many games they won last year. That was fool's gold from the very beginning.
You were saying it after four wins, you know, five wins.
21st best QB rating last year. The people in Pittsburgh who actually follow him know. I don't care how many games they won last year. That's fool's gold. The schedule is going to get more difficult. Ben Roethlisberger, not really known for maintaining his body like Tom Brady. Sometimes he comes in looking really hefty. He's always had the double chin going. It's very rare that you battle father time into your 40s. Tom Brady can do it. Big Ben can't. There's a reason that Phillip Rivers is retiring. Eli Manning are retiring. And Ben Roethlisberger, for some reason, is still playing. Father time catches up. They were all in that draft class. It's the ghost of Ben Roethlisberger. Pittsburgh, no chance to win a Super Bowl next year. And Big Ben will continue to be a liability in Pittsburgh.
That cap hit is going to make it impossible for them to really add anything. And Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, Hall of Famer. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be
legend.
A great, great
number seven's going to be up there
history.
In the rafters in Pittsburgh.
No question. I was going to say a great part of the
tough
the
son of a gun
Steelers
too.
History. But how he plays the game is the key thing here. You talk about guys like Breeze and Tom Brady. You don't see them very often taking a big hit. You see Ben Roethlisberger, his whole game is standing in there and taking hits.
Yeah.
You know, having guys
that adds up.
Bounce off of him. Yeah. And that adds up big time.
The way Tom Brady is able to avoid getting hit is incredible. I think Field Yates put out the stat that Tom Brady was the least pressured quarterback or the least hit quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And the gap between him and number two was wider between the gap from number two to number 11 or something like that.
Yeah.
When it came to getting hit.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger's always getting hit.
He
that's
wants
part of
guys
because he's tough.
Bouncing off of him.
It's tough.
Because he's so big and
but
tough.
He's old. He's done though. He's done.
Yeah,
he is
adds
done.
Up.
It's done. JJ, don't go there. If you want to win, don't go there.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. Franchise tag. No franchise tags placed on any players yesterday. March 9th is the time frame from when teams can franchise tag players. We wondered if Will Fuller could be franchise tagged by Nick Caserio. Still no word on that. Here's Ian Rappaport talking about the top franchise tag candidates.
Let's start, with Dak Prescott. Last year, expect him to be franchise tagged again for the second straight year. $37.7 million is the tag. Except if the Cowboys are able to do a long-term deal. And my understanding is the Cowboys do want to work out a long-term deal with Prescott before they have to tag him. They are confident in his recovery to do that. Another player we're going to be talking about, Chris Godwin, the Buccaneers star receiver. Do not expect him to go anywhere. Obviously going to try to work out a long-term deal with him. If they cannot get something done, they are expected to tag him as well. And then finally, Kenny Golladay, the Detroit Lions star receiver, another one of the big-time group of young receivers who could potentially be available. I would be very surprised if he's actually available. Another strong franchise tag candidate. I know they had talks last year about a long-term extension. I'm going to try again this year, but expect him to be tagged if they don't get a deal.
That's really interesting that Chris Godwin could be tagged by the Tampa Bay Bucks because you already have Mike Evans. You got Scotty Miller. Don't know if you're bringing back Antonio Brown. So you have some pretty good receivers in Tampa Bay. Also, Johnson was a hell of a – he had a lot of upside. Brady trusted him at important times, the rookie out of Minnesota, day three pick. So if they are franchise tagging Chris Godwin, that means Shaq Barrett's not going to get franchise tagged. And a guy who led the league in sacks 2 years ago, guy who was one of the most valuable guys in the postseason, they're either going to have to agree on a long-term deal with Shaq Barrett or that dude's going to break bread because you got to think that's not going to be cheap. Edge rushers are few and far between, and Shaq Barrett, I figured they would franchise tag him and try to figure something out and then maybe try to figure stuff out with Godwin contract-wise, but it'd be interesting to see if they do make that decision and they go with Godwin and let Shaq Barrett test the market.
There is a little bit of strategy here, obviously, and I think what they're looking at is where do we have our best options to bring someone in, you know, whether it's wide receiver or edge rusher. So clearly, you know, they're feeling much better, according to Ian Rapoport, about their ability to sign or bring in someone who's an edge rusher. Do we know any edge rushers who might be ending up in Tampa?
Maybe J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe Shaq Barrett gets money whipped. They franchise tagged him for the $15.8 million last year. Apparently, they're not going to do it again. It'll be interesting. An undrafted guy in 2014 could break bread. Again, if you are going to go with Godwin and you want a cheaper option than Shaq Barrett, J.J. Watt probably wouldn't be bad. Jason Pierre-Paul, by the way, having surgery on his left knee out there in Tampa Bay. Playing the hits here on Sports Radio 610. Man, yesterday as we were signing off the air, we got the news that Tiger Woods had gotten in a car accident and the jaws of life were needed to remove Tiger Woods from the car. Here is some behind the scenes audio of what the 911 call and the response from 911 emergency sounded like.
Hey, Lamia, you're going to be on the southbound traffic lane between PV Drive North, Silver Spur. Can I get a unit to go ahead and start blocking off southbound traffic from PV Drive North?
We have a rollover with someone trapped.
Hey, I'm going to need a unit to accompany the ambulance transport to HGH.
The vehicle ran off the road between PV Drive North and Black.
Just got off the phone with them. Let me call them back.
So Tiger was removed. Yeah. Apparently he was responsive. He had his seatbelt on, but multiple knee surgeries and ankle surgery. They described it as crush surgeries, you want to talk about a visual.
It's just awful.
Not very good.
Rods and pins and all kinds of stuff.
But the good thing is he is alive. I thought they were going to take Tiger from us. Tiger is still alive. Maybe this will allow Tiger to rest because that back has been bad. And there's just been all this speculation as his back continues to get worse and worse as he gets into his 40s. Of is he going to play in the Masters? Is he not going to play in the Masters? And you know, if you know anything about Tiger Woods, just how much it takes for him to prepare mentally, physically. Maybe this will just allow Tiger to rest. His golf career, I mean, it's likely over, I would think. But maybe this will just allow Tiger to rest. I'm just glad that he's good, that he's still with us. Tiger, to say the very least. He's apparently responsive. He's talking and all that, but he's got a long, long road ahead of him.
And for those who, it's understandable, who jump to the conclusion, I wonder if no DUI investigation.
7 a.m.
Weirdness, I should say, being investigated here. It was just one of those things. Apparently that road was so bad that they actually,
it's legendary, yeah.
They actually had a runaway lane. You know, yeah. In some states, some places that in case your car, you can't stop, there's just a lane that goes into, you know, up a hill or something. So that was just a bad, bad road.
Here, Lindsay Theory was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. She gave the latest on Tiger Woods. This is Lindsay Theory on ESPN.
In one leg, Woods has a shattered ankle. In the other leg, he has a compound fracture of both the tibia and fibula. Now, also of serious concern are vascular issues regarding these injuries. The goal for doctors was to stabilize these injuries, including orthopedic and vascular issues. Sources say that this will be a very long road to recovery.
Oh, really?
That will include multiple surgeries.
Sources tell you that when he has a rod in his knee and crushed ankle, that it's going to be a long road to recovery? Who are these sources?
There was one part of that report. Go ahead.
Landry Locker here at Sports Radio 610. Tiger Woods has had multiple surgeries. He has rods in his knees and his ankles. And my source, Common Sense, tells me that it's going to be a long road to recovery. Back to you, Scott Van Pelt.
It's going to be a while, Scott.
Sources tell me.
This is a severe owie. It's definitely that. One part of that report, though, did kind of make me raise an eyebrow. I think she said severe, whatever word she used, vascular issues. That means veins and arteries were involved, and that
they get cut.
Oh, That could be lead to big problems.
I'm just glad they didn't take Tiger from me.
Oh, man, come on.
Me and Figgy were walking back to our desk after the show, and Figgy was like, man, they just can't take Tiger from us, man. They just can't take Tiger from us. Can't not now. Can't do it.
So now we have the answer. Tiger or the field? You take Tiger.
Very much so.
Take Tiger.
Shout out to Tiger. You are a legend. I'm rocking my Tiger shirt just for you. Coming up, the next steps towards the rebuild. What's next for Caserio?
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.